Ezra Hashem, our halacha topic for today from Daf Lamites is a beautiful one, which emerges from the Tosis, the Bar Maskel Batzel Shiura, and that is the subject of Shiur for Bracha Achrona, particularly in what's called a Beria. Tosis points out in Lamites Amid Aleph that the Gemara raises the possibility that one does not make a Bracha Achrona. And this is how we paskin on something that is less shir hakizayis. Tosis actually raises the possibility that when it comes to bar nefashos, maybe one does not need a shir, and the Bali Tosis reject it and say even for bar nefashos, one needs a shir. Then Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi whose approach to the Gemara is different than what we have in the Bavli. Specifically, our Bavli had said that the way in which one would make a bracha achrona on one olive is if it's a large olive and minus its pit, it would still have the shear of an average zayis. Tosis points out that the Yerushalmi gives a different teretz. The Yerushalmi says that the reason why it gets a bracha achrona is because it's a beria. Now, the concept of beria is found in Kol HaTorah Kula. For example, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that when it comes to the Isser of Macholos Asuros, for example, when it comes to the prohibition of eating a sheretz, which the Mishnah in Makos delineates could be as much as 4, 5, 6, 7 Isurim in the Torah, if it is a beria, a living entity by itself, one would be over the yisur even if it's less than the shear. Hence, when it comes to the halachos of insects, there one has to be concerned for the yisur to arise to the yisur of lav, even if it's much less than the kezayis, as long as it's a beria. See Sefer Shalmi Nisan that argues that the rules of beria when it comes to brachos might be different on some level from the halachos of kashrus, but for our purposes, they work in a very similar fashion. Answers the Yerushalmi. The reason why he made a bracha on the zayis was because Rabbi Yochanan was choshesh that when it comes to a beria, so then it has its own status, its own chashivus, and it does not need a shiur in order to be chayiv in bracha. Tosas is unsure whether Yerushalmi agrees or disagrees with our Bavli. If you learn that the Bavli was talking, says Tosas, where the pit was removed, so then in such a case, then there isn't even a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says you need a shear because it's longer a barrier, the original way was made because the pit was removed. But if the pit was not removed, so then in such a case, then it gets a bracha achrona, even if it's less than a shear. How do we paskin lahalacha? The Mechaber in Simin Reish Yud, Sif Aleph, codifies the rule of our Gemara that one needs a shear for a bracha achrona. And then he discussed the halachos of beria. Ha'ocha pochos mikizayis, says the Mechaber, Reish Yud, Sif Aleph, Beimi pas, beimi shar oichlim, v'hashoise pochos mirevius, beimi yayin, beimi shar mashkim. So the amount is the size of an olive. For food item, it's a kizayis, and for liquids, it's a revius. Continues the Mechaber, if it's less than that, v'hashoise pochos mirevius, beimi yayin, beimi shar mashkim, beforehand, you make appropriate bracha if it's less than a shear. As our Gemara said, if it's less than a shear, it does not get a bracha achrona. Unlike the position of Tosas that said possibly a bar nefashos, you do make on less than a shear, we paskin not that way. V'yesh mistapkim lomar, continues the Mechaber, shal dover shu kebriyoso, something that is as it was created, kegon gargir shel anav, like a grape, osho rimon, or a pit of a pomegranate, shenvarchen la'achav afal pi shen bo kezayis, l'chei, l'kach, nochon lizor, shelo lechol beria pachos mi kezayis. So therefore, the Mechaber concludes that people are not aware about this, that when reading a pomegranate, so then in such a case, one has a suffix by simply eating one seed that has a din of a beria, and therefore would require a separate bracha achrona, even if it's less than a shear, and therefore one should be careful to eat a shear. Now, what exactly qualifies as a beria? So over here, the Ramah takes a stand, and we will review some of the basic shitas harishonim. Hagah, v'lo mikri beria ela im achlo kemo shehu. When is it considered a beria? When you eat it the way it is. Aval im lakach hagarin mimenu, but if the pit is taken out, lo mikri beria. It's not considered a beria. In other words, according to the Ramah, and this is how the Mishnah Berurah explains it, it's only considered a beria if you've eaten the entire fruit, including its pit. If you do not eat its pit, then it's no longer considered a beria. Now, this applies even if the fruit has a pit, which is not what most people would call edible. For example, an olive. Most people today do not eat the pit inside of an olive. For that reason, when it comes to an olive, there's no problem of beria because you throw out the pit. You have to eat the whole pit. The Mishnah Berurah gives one exception to that rule, and that is, he quotes the Magen Avraham and the Elyo Rabba, what happens if the outer pit is not edible, but every once in a while there are pits that its internal part of the pit is edible. So you have the fruit, you eat the fruit, and then there's a shell around the pit, and the inside of the pit is edible. So then in such a case, it would retain its beria status, and then one should be careful so as not to fall into the Machlokes Rishonim, which revolve around the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, whether we accept the answer of the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha achrona because it's a beria, which the Shulchan Aruch says is a suffix. At the end of the day, if the pit is eaten, then in such a case we have a suffix in regards to bracha achrona. It would seem, according to my Rebbe Rav Nevensal, in his Ha'ara, I did not discuss this with him, in Simen Reish Yud, that raisins would also fall into the above problem, and hence one should be machmir misafik. Is a raisin considered a beria? Of course, if the raisins were made when we know that its pits were removed, so then in such a case it definitely would not be considered a beria. But what about a raisin that is made from grapes where its pit is still in there? On the other hand, its entity has very much been changed. So Rav Nevensal is mesupak whether it has a din of a beria, and what would emerge, according to his position, one should be machmir to eat a shear of that food. Again, when it comes to a pomegranate, there everybody agrees that one should be machmir to eat a shear because it could be by eating one seed, you already be chayiv, according to the Yerushalmi, in a bracha vachrona. Because of halacha beria. Even though it is a machlokis rishonim, nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah also makes another point in beria that's important, and that is beria is pure beria. Writes the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Ches of Reish Yud that if the beria lost a small amount to it, even the smallest amount, it loses its identity of beria, and then there is no suffix in regards to bracha. This is a machlokis rishonim, the Shalmei Nisan Simen Mem Vav claims, and he gives the omek, the depth of what he thinks is the machlokis, but for our purpose, for Hilchos Brachos, again for Yoredeya, might be a different discussion, the halacha is that it doesn't have a suffix of beria. This Bezer Hashem concludes the halachos of beria. Our next topic for today emerges from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and that is the way in which one is supposed to be botseya or cut bread on Shabbos for Lechem Mishnah. Let's remind ourselves what the Gemara said, seven lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Rabbi Abba said on Shabbos, Chayiv Adam Leftsoa Al Shtei Kikaros, a person needs to, literally, the best way to translate Leftsoa means to break bread on two loaves. The Gemara says why? The Gemara says, because we have Exeris HaKosov of Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara then recounts that Rav Ashi saw Rav Kahana that took two loaves of bread, but he broke only on one of them. The Gemara then recounts that Rav Zeira was Botseya, and here we're going to have a big machlokus of what exactly Rav Zeira did. In the Daf, we described Rav Zeira according to Rashi. However, we will see that there is a big machlokus Rishonim, as well as the machlokus Halacha Lemaisa, how one is supposed to cut the loaves of bread. Rav Zeira hava bata akula sherusa. Rashi learns that akula sherusa prusa gedayla. He cut a large piece, shayadayla lechala suuda b'shabbos, that it was enough for the entire suuda of Shabbos. So what would emerge then is that Rav Ashi recounted that he saw Rav Chisda cutting from one bread, as well as Rabbi Zeira also cut a large piece of bread. The Rashba disagrees with Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Zeira. The Rashba appears by an Asa Meseches Brachos, as well as the Beis Yosef in Simin Reish Ayin Dalid quotes the position of the Rashba as well. And there the Beis Yosef quotes, "V'arashba kosav aperikets mevarchin she'eino mechuver be'einav pirushe elahachi pirushe batza al kol akir karos hamenachem lefanov le'echol." The Rashba claims that when it says "akula sheirusa," it means not on one challah that he took a large piece, but rather he took both. He cut both challahs. The Rashba buttresses his point by saying that according to Rashi, the Gemara's Raya is hard to understand. And this argument of the Rashba is also accepted by the Gra, La'alacha, and mentioned, the actual argument is mentioned by the Gra as well. And that is, the Gemara after Rabbi Zeira says, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, v'akam ischazi ki Rav Sinusa. How could he do this? He looks like a hungry person who is devouring in an uncouth manner. Argues the Rashba, what's wrong? He cut a large piece that's normal for his Suuda. The only reason one could ask Mischazi Karav Sinusa, if we're talking about Rabbi Zeira's case, is if we're going to say that he cut both challahs, so why do you need to cut so much? So the answer is that he's doing it L'Kavod Shabbos, so then it's not considered Karav Sinusa. But if it's just a large piece for that meal, that is not Merci, Rav Sinus. This opinion is found in the Gra as well, because the Mechaber paskins like Rashi, like we had seen in Rav Zeira. Says the Mechaber in Siman Reish Ayin Dalet, Botzei al shtei kikaros she'ochesh shteyem biyado botzei atachtona. He should hold the bread in both hands. Rav Neventhal points out that the source of this we saw earlier in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Samach Zayin Siv Dalid, which states that when one makes a amotzi, one should hold the pass with all 10 fingers, which is based on a Yerushalmi, which Tosas quoted earlier on Daf Lamiches on the base. Either way, the Mechaber mentions it as well in Hilchos Shabbos, but Rav Neventhal points out that it's not a halach in Hilchos Shabbos. It applies during the week. The Yerushalmi is based on the pasuk in Tehillim that says "Lahosi lechem in aretz" and mentions 10 of the amazing qualities that Kodesh Baruch Hu does to bring bread out of the ground. The Mechaber then says "Sheochesh tein biyadon ubotzeya hatachtona," and he makes a bracha from the lower one. In other words, he eats from the lower one. This is a big discussion in the poskim. What about the rule Ein Marvirin al HaMitzvahs that the Taz discusses? Let's first discuss our topic, and that is, well, do you only break one, or do you break two? The Mechaber continues, Mivtza Livtzoa B'Shabbos Prusa Gedola Shetas B'Klo L'Kol Asuda. The mitzvah is to cut a large piece of bread that's enough for the whole Suuda. How did the Mechaber paskin? He paskin like the Shita of Rashi on Daf Lamed Tes on the base. However, the Gra comes along and the Gra says that he thinks that the Mechaber is incorrect. Says the Gra, "Ayim Magen Avram, v'ikir k'mo shekasa Rashal v'shalah Lachtoch Shnehem, Kipira Rajba Rav Haigon. The Rajba Rav Haigon makes sense. Akula Sherusa, it means to cut both of them. In other words, even though our Gemara had quoted a sheet that the quote that one should cut both of them, which was a simple reading of Rabbi Abba, at the end of the day, we went with the custom of Rabbi Zeira. The question is, what did Rabbi Zeira do? So that's a machlokas Rishonim, and that becomes a machlokas even halacha lemaisa. Those who follow the simple reading, the straightforward reading of the Shulchan Aruch, will only cut from one chala, which chala we will get to in a moment. However, those who follow the Gemara understand the line in the Gemara that says Akula Sherusa means the entire pieces of loaves, and for that matter, to cut all of the loaves, it seems according to Rajba, if there were more than two loaves, then he would need to cut all of the loaves. And it's not considered Rav Sanusa, the Gemara asks. That looks like someone who's eating in a manner that's not polite. To which the Gemara says, no, it's obvious that it's covered shot. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Minhag HaOlam is to follow the lenient opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, Vahal Olam Noagin Ke HaShulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, there are many who follow the Gra who will follow this position of the Rajba. The crux of this Machlokis seems to revolve around how we understand the words Lechem Mishnah. Is Lechem Mishnah in regards to the gathering together, the Lakita, and since you gather together two breads, that's enough? Or it's the breaking of the bread that it also requires Lechem Mishnah? That's the Mashmos in the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Dalet. Finally, the last issue that is left, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that one cuts one challah, which challah do you cut? So strikingly, the Mechaber says that you have two challahs, one sitting on top of each other, you cut the lower of the two challahs. Comes along the Taz and asks, Hayitachin, how could that possibly be? He quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, what if the rule of Eim Avirin ala mitzvos? Hence the Bach says that it's a mistake and the bracha should be on the large, on the top one. However, the Taz says that his minhag is to follow the rules of the Shulchan Aruch and to say to eat from the bottom one and to cut from the bottom one. However, in terms of problems of Eim Avirin ala mitzvos, so for that, the Taz says he leaves the bottom one sticking out. Many follow this custom of the Taz today, and therefore it is closest to him, and therefore one is not in violation of Eim Mavirin ala mitzvah. It has always been a mystery to me, both the opinion of the Mechaber that says to cut from the bottom challah, as well as the Ramah's qualification that al pi Kabbalah, it only applies during the evening, the night meal, to cut from the bottom, but during the day meal, to cut from the top. I guess it's a mystery because I do not know Kabbalah. I've looked around in some Sfarim, and I haven't seen a coherent explanation for this difference in custom. But these are the different shittos of whether to cut both breads, some of the breads, or the top or the bottom.